So, today I wanted to just tell a quick story that I heard from a Dharma talk. Dharma is just like the teachings of meditation and mindfulness. So if you ever hear that word, like Dharma talk, it's usually Buddhist, but meditation and mindfulness, just you can think of it that way. Or teachings for truth, or what's true in life. That's Dharma. But anyway, so there was a Dharma talk by one of my favorite teachers, Sylvia Boorstein. She's like this sweet old lady. And although I've never met her, when I listen to her talks, it reminds me of like my grandma. Like if my grandma was like a Buddhist that knew a lot about meditation and all that stuff, like that's would be her. Like, you know how grandparents just like, there's just like this outflow of love and like silliness. And so she's really fun to listen to. But she was telling a story about a retreat she was on. And just in case you don't know what a retreat is, it's a period of time they dedicate to meditation and mindfulness, to literally no distractions. You're just paying attention. You're doing meditation, walking meditation, work practice, which could be sweeping, cleaning the toilets, you know, washing dishes. And that's basically all you do. So she was on a retreat and she happened to wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, you wake up normally around 4 anyway, 4 or 5, but she must have woken up a little earlier than that. And she was like, should I go practice or should I go back to sleep, you know? And she's like, you know, I'm here to practice intensely. I'm awake. I probably won't be able to fall back asleep. Do I go to the meditation hall? And she kind of went back and forth a little. But she finally decided, you know what? Here I am. I'm up. Let's go practice, right? Get the most out of this time. So she gets her clothes on. She tiptoes out of the dorms and makes her way to the meditation hall. And she starts to sit. So she finds her cushion and she begins her seated meditation, and immediately she's falling asleep. Her mind's hazy. It's all kind of, you know, when you're tired, it's just kind of like you don't know what's going on. So she was getting a little discouraged. She's like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I should have just went back to bed. But she's like, well, I'm here, so let me try some walking meditation. Maybe that'll wake me up. So she, you know, finds two spots and she starts walking, and that wakes her up a little bit. So she's like, okay, you know, I'm feeling good now. My mind is awake. Maybe I can go back to sitting. And she goes back to sitting, and it's good for a couple minutes, but then it's hazy again. And she's, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you're meditating and it just goes black for a second and you fall and you're like, what happened? So, you know, she kept going back and forth with sitting and walking, and she kept going back and forth with like, was this a waste of time? You know, did I just screw myself up, basically? You know, like, you know, I should have went back to bed. I would have been well rested, and then I could have had a really nice, you know, sitting for the rest of the day. So anyway, she goes on through the rest of the day, and she talks to her teacher. Normally on a retreat, you can meet with your teacher once a day if you want. Some of them are mandatory, but a lot of them, if you want them, you can go talk to them. So she says, she brings this up, you know, I woke up and, you know, I was sleepy and hazy and my mind was not really present and I feel like it was a waste of time. Like, you know, and I don't think if I wake up again, I don't think I should go practice. And the teacher said, you know, after this long story, I finally get to the point. The teacher said something that I've been really thinking about. I've been talking to my students about, my private clients about. And she said, or I don't know if it was a he or she, her teacher, but they said, every moment of mindfulness erases a moment of conditioning. So he said, it wasn't a waste of time. Right? And, you know, I love that because we get into these ideas of like a good meditation or a bad meditation, or, you know, sometimes you're paying attention and you're just a mess. You know, you're sitting here and you don't want to be here and your knee hurts and your mind's all over the place, and you get really discouraged. And most people will come to me, you know, maybe they come to my class, and I give them a guided meditation, and they feel amazing. And then I say, okay, now you have to practice at home. you know, and they go home, and then the next week they come back. It didn't work. It didn't work. I can't do it at home. You know, it only works when I'm here. You know, and it's really hard to get out of this mindset of it working or not working, or it's good, it's bad. It's either you're paying attention or you're not. That's it. And that's exactly what the teacher was saying. Like, if you were paying attention that whole time, and oh, hazy mind is like this, sleepiness is like this, you know, and you were just there, then you were not unconsciously going through those moments from your conditioned mind, right? You weren't just habitually reacting to the moment. So every moment that you pause, every moment that you are just observing how things are without judging it and, you know, analyzing it and just letting it be what it is, that's a moment of freedom. Freedom from unconscious conditioning, like most people. Right? Most people aren't aware of their thoughts. Not because they don't have awareness, but because they're just... It's like watching a movie at a movie theater. You're watching the movie, you forget that you're even there. You become the story. You become the characters. When people, you know, die, you cry, even though they're not really dead. But, you know, we get so involved in the story that we forget ourselves. And it's the same thing with our feelings and our moods and our thoughts, that we get so involved, we're so in it, that we don't even realize that we're just the audience member, you know, watching the characters on the screen. So, you know, when we're not observing, then we become those things. You know, so when anxiety arises, if we're not paying attention, we're not mindful, we're an anxious person, right? We are that experience. And then we, you know, that's very different than, okay, I'm aware of this uncomfortable sensation in my chest that I call anxiety, right? It's the, you know, how do I relate to it rather than live from it? That's my other favorite line that I always bring up. So if we're paying attention, we can relate to it. If we're not paying attention, we live it. We become it. We become the anger, the anxiety, the depression, the grief, whatever. And then we do all kinds of stupid things when we're not conscious, right? We can do stupid things when we're conscious too, but that's a choice, which is different, you know? And normally the way we experience our lives, you know, and if we look at it, our lives are, you know, thoughts, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, right? And sensations. That's it. But what happens? So these things are just what they are. We might hear somebody throwing weights out there and it's just clank, clank, right? That's what it is. But maybe when that clank, clank is out there, we get a feeling of dislike. Right, everything has a feeling tone. When you eat a piece of chocolate, what kind of feeling tone do you have?
Bliss.
And then what happens? So once you have the feeling tone, oh my God, the pleasure on my tongue from this chocolate, and it makes me feel good, what's the next thing that comes? More. Greed. Desire. I want more of this. So that's the pulling, right? Maybe you know, like I said, you hear the weights outside and we're trying to meditate and there's a tightness, and instantly there's the sound and there's the feeling tone of unpleasant. I don't want to hear this, right? And then what comes up? Aversion. I don't want this. That simple process is what's going on all day. We're not being with how things really are. We're being with how it makes us feel, and then our either craving for it or our desire to push it away. And it's exhausting. And it causes a lot of suffering. I like, I don't like. You know, I need and I don't want. And that's like the two you know, categories of our suffering that I say is something's wrong, something's missing. they're all saying the same thing, that push and pull in reality, moment by moment, push, pull, push, pull. I like, I don't like it. Like, just start to notice that. How everything that you do, how you speak, is like kind of based on that. It's not bad, it's just what, you know, what it is. But we can become less involved in that. And we can just see these things happen and not take them as seriously. And then we're free. At least for that moment of paying attention. And that's what they're saying. A moment of mindfulness is erasing a moment of conditioning. And if you think of every single thing that you do, every thought that you indulge in, every word you speak, every action that you take as planting seeds for your future, well, if you're pausing, then you're just, you could say you're planting seeds of awakening, or you could just say you're not planting any seeds at all. Which means there's going to be more space, more openness, right? Instead of our normal craziness. So no moment of paying attention is a waste, right? So even if when we do our sitting or our walking, maybe your mind's just an anxious mess or obsessing over this one thing or, you know, reliving an argument or fill in the blank for what your minds are doing. Fine. If you're paying attention to it, it's great. It's fine. It is what it is. The mental stuff right now in this moment is like this. And labeling is very helpful too. So if your mind is obsessing, obsessing or obsessive thoughts, because that immediately brings you back to the audience, right? Like when you're watching a movie, that's like somebody like sneezing, and you're like, all of a sudden you're back in a movie theater. You're not caught up in the storyline. So it's the same thing, you know. Just bring yourself back and label. You know, sadness. Ah, sadness. Hello, my old friend. You know, whatever arises, you just label it. It's simply what it is. You know, there's no other way to say it. Thought, feeling, sensation, sound. Right? Things don't actually have this good or bad. That's just what we bring to it. Nothing is good or bad. It's just what it is. You know? And like the example that one teacher did, I don't have two bells, but they said, would you consider this a large or small? Anybody?
Small.
Small. Well, and then in the example, because somebody said, I guess he must have brought out a big bell, and he said, now what? I mean, a smaller bell, rather. Like a little tiny bell. Is it big or small? Right? Now all of a sudden, did it change? Right? It's, you know, it's what we bring to it. It's just this. That's it. It's not big. It's not small. It's not this or that. It's just this. So in the same way, you know, when we have an anxious thought, it's just that. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just what it is. When you feel depressed, I mean, it's just, it's what it is. Ah, depression. This is what you're like, okay? Right, we can have that kind of friendly, spacious approach to ourselves. It's much friendlier. Judgment-free. Like, make your place a judgment-free zone. And that doesn't mean judgments won't arise, because that's natural. But just notice that. Right? Don't judge the judgments. Don't indulge in them either, and don't take them as seriously. But okay, judging mind. I know you very well. Good to see you. Thanks for your opinion. You're right, I do look fat today. Yeah, thank you for that. You know, try to have some kale later. You know, and even make it a joke. I remember one time I was like wanted to get home from work, but I was stuck behind a garbage truck on a one-way street, and it stopped at every house. And I was like getting just angrier and angrier. And then I just realized this and I said, oh, poor Mark. He's going to have to wait an extra 7 minutes to get home today. You know, like I made a joke and I lightened the mood. You know, you can do that. You can do that. And just you have to be paying attention. And that's why this practice is so important. That's why sitting every day is so important. Just like if you want bigger biceps, you know, you have to work them out often. If you want to get better at piano, you got to sit down and play every day. So if you want to strengthen the muscle of attention, you got to sit. Right? And sitting or walking, but you know, sitting is there's no distraction. You have nothing to distract you anymore. So you're just stuck with the raw, vulnerable state that you're in, whatever that is. The body as it is, the mind as it is, whatever feelings are swimming around. And what stinks, you know, kind of, especially in the beginning, is that there's so much unprocessed stuff from your whole life. Childhood crap, that's all in there. You know, grievances or, you know, longings, unfulfilled longings. All this stuff is in there. And we're so busy, and some of us use that as a way to not feel things, right? But we're so busy that we don't get to experience these things. So why do a lot of people leave meditation? Because once the fuzzy, you know, happy part is over, like in a relationship, it's the same thing, right? The romantic phase of meditation, once that kind of dies down, all that stuff's waiting to be felt. And right when it starts to come up, that's when people say, well, this is not for me. Nope. Not doing it. Right? Because this will bring you exactly face to face with yourself. And not just the parts that we show everybody, the crazy parts too. And we have to feel it. You have to feel these things to let go. I had, my personality was always like center of attention from little till I was, I mean, I probably still have a little bit of it today, but it's not like, I don't live for it. Like I used to live for it. If I was at a bar and you were there, you would know I was there, guaranteed. I'd be in a Speedo on the bar dancing. I wouldn't even be drinking either. God, yeah. Maybe late afterwards I would, and who knows. But, you know, and then it almost became like I had to do it. And I remember when I first started meditating, I'd go to the gym, and it's like I felt like I had to do this crazy thing when everybody was looking so that I could feel important or whatever. And I remember on one retreat, and I never felt like a lonely person. I never thought of myself like that. But on one retreat, out of nowhere, this heaviness of I'm so alone came up. Like, and I grieved like somebody died. Like they had to take me out of the meditation hall and have like a special meeting. I was like, but that was just some deep stuff from who knows where. That I was not even conscious of. Alone? I never felt lonely. You know? But once it was gone, like, those habits were so much less. And this is what happens with us. Like, our pain gets locked in. And then the habits form around the pain. And then once we stop doing the habits, the pain comes up to be released. And if we keep pushing it down, then we can't move on. And there, you know, there's a teacher that said if you haven't grieved deeply multiple times, then your meditation practice hasn't even begun. And I will tell you that in the beginning, I bought a book that was called "You're Not Crazy, You're Just Waking Up," because I thought I was a fucking nutcase. Really, I'd crying fits. I was so confused, and this is what happens. Because the rock that you've kind of stood on your whole life in meditation starts to crumble. Right? This ego, this sense of identification, me and my what I do and what I believe in. And when you sit and you do a lot of practice and you kind of hold yourself in spaciousness, there's nothing to hold on to. And you just fall apart. But it's not a bad falling apart. It feels horrific. But it's not a bad falling apart. You're letting go of what you're not. You know, you're letting go of the things that are limiting you or that are causing you unnecessary pain or suffering. And then you're left with just the real you, whatever that is. You know? So it's a crazy practice. And it's hard to get people to want to do it. And you might want to do it like after my talk and like, okay, can't wait. And then life, right? And then how many people sat this week? It's every class, no matter anywhere. Did you guys do it? And they give you that look like of shame. I'm not going to be mad. I mean, it's just, we don't want to do it. I don't know why. I do know why. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. And there's plenty of other things that can make us feel good that we'd rather try doing. But how's that going? Right? Do we feel good enough yet to stop wanting more? We'll eventually learn. You eventually learn. Maybe not. Maybe you died before that. But I think that you'd eventually learn that, like, wow, I keep doing all these things. It's like I try to do this, and I try to get that, and I try to get this car, you know, and all these material things. But I'm still dissatisfied with myself and with my life. Maybe that method's not working. Maybe it's not working anymore. So how do we find real peace? And what is that? Right? And why do you feel good after you meditate? Because you're not wanting anything else except that moment. That's how I trick you, right? Feel this. Hear that. Notice this. There's no wanting in there. There's not even a sense of me there. There's just things happening. I hear sounds. There's sensations. There's thought. And you're just fully there, and it feels great. Right? You agree? Because you are not struggling with reality. Reality is this way. It's like this. And that's fine. So, like, peace and joy, it's right here. But we, and I'm guilty of it too, go down our misguided roads to happiness. And we keep doing the same roads, and they keep making us unsatisfied, but we think this time the road's going to be different. And we go down, same result. Right? And that's why one teacher said there's two kinds of suffering. Right? One suffering that leads to more suffering. That's going down the misguided road again and again and again, right? Addiction is the extreme example. I think it's going to work this time. If I just take this substance one more time, take this drink, it's going to fix everything. And you wake up the next day feeling even worse, and all the problems are right there. The other type of suffering that leads to freedom is the suffering of just being with these things. It's hard to be with anxiety without judging it, without running away. It's hard to be with intense craving or anxiety, depression, loneliness, anger. Try sitting with these things. Feels like you're sitting in a fire pit. This is crazy. But that type of suffering will lead to freedom, because you're not just doing the conditioned response to what you're feeling. Right? So when we're paying attention, we erase conditioning because we're not following the conditioning. Does that make sense? We're aware of what our mind is doing, and we say, okay, this is what mind is doing, but then it's just one thing happening in this moment. And we got to just take our minds less seriously. It's not who we are. When you're sitting there, oh, poor me, my life stinks, and I hate myself. It's just thinking. All it can do is yap. Right? Or if you're feeling a certain emotion, all it can do is feel a certain way for a certain amount of time, and that's it. Anxiety can only feel tight and for so long before it has to release. It might come back, but you can really see that impermanence. It's so helpful. That's really what you notice when you're sitting in meditation. And that's why, you know, sitting every day, you show up and it's like, okay, let's see what today's going to bring, right? And, okay, today's a peaceful day. Wow. And then you show up the next day and you're sick, right? You said you were sick. All right, you have a cold and you feel like crap and you want to go to bed, but you're sitting there and, you know, and then there's the next day. And then, okay, I'm feeling better, but I'm a little, you know, anxious about work and stressed about money. And that's there. And then you start to see that your practice can hold everything, one, but two, that these conditions are all impermanent. You know, the sick you of yesterday is gone. The angry you of this morning is over. Right? The depressed you from 10 years ago has changed. So you don't cling to all this stuff as much. You still get caught in it from time to time, but you don't have to. You know, and if you can be 10% or 5% less caught in your stuff, that's 5% more room for joy and peace. Right? We don't need anything else. And we don't need to get rid of anything. We have to throw that away. Life is this. Right here. This is it. This is all you have. And you can make friends with this because we do it. Every time we sit, we let it be that way. You know, in this erasing conditioning thing, well, you can pause throughout the day. I don't have time to sit. Well, then pause once an hour. Right? Just stop and hear the sounds. See what your body's like. Relax it. Take a breath, a conscious breath or two. Notice your mind, what mood's there, what thoughts are present. And that's it. Just hold that. Say, okay, now this. Right? I love that. Just saying that, okay, now this. You wake up and you're extra sad that day, now this. You're stuck in a traffic jam and you need to get somewhere and you're late, now this. It's so simple. Just live simply like that. This is the moment. When I'm at work this morning, it's like 10 hours and I'm driving faster. And then I say, where else can I be? Slow down, idiot. You know, I don't say idiot because that's kind of not in line with a. I didn't say it. But no, like, slow down, stop. Where are you trying to get to? You can't get anywhere. You're here. This is the only place you can be. So just relax. And then I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. And then.
Right.
Then you see the weird smiley kid driving the truck. But yeah, that's it. Pay attention. And you can even pick one thing you do every day and do that and let that be your thing, like brushing your teeth or combing your hair. I mean, I don't do that, but taking a shower, washing the dishes, cooking your dinner. Pick one activity that is every day and just let that be your time. You turn your phone off and, you know, if you're cutting carrots up, right, you feel the arm moving, you hear the sound, you smell the, you know, just give full attention. And that maybe 10 minutes of preparing your food is 10 minutes that you're not adding neuroses to your life. Those are 10 minutes of not conditioning. Right? Or not being habitual, right? Not being unconscious. And the more you practice, the more your mind naturally will be awake. So that's what we need to do. So we're going to practice being awake with our seated meditation. So if you want to stretch your legs real quick, that's fine. You don't have to. Quick rub, massage, and then we can get started. So let me set my timer up. We'll sit a few minutes longer today. So I hit the bell 3 times. By the 3rd time, try to find your position. And I heard a really cool thing about the 3 sounds. One person taught it as birth, life, and death. So, something to contemplate, right? It's like that. It comes, then it goes, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. Anyway, I always like to throw those scary things in. So hands on the knees or resting in the lap. Sit up nice and tall. Close the eyes. You can keep them closed for the rest of the session. And we start by simply listening to the bell. So just hear it as I hit it. As always, the first thing we do is simply arrive to this moment. And all that means is pay attention. What's happening? And since our eyes are closed, we're not really eating any food right now. Our life comes down to just a few things. Sensations in the body. That includes feelings too. Sounds. And thoughts. So those are the ingredients of our life in this moment. And each thing that we experience is simply what it is. So today, as I kind of go through these different parts, I want us to start to notice, one, the feeling tone, and then two, that pushing and pulling. So if you feel something uncomfortable, notice the negative feeling tone or the unpleasant feeling tone. And then notice the desire to get away, to fix it. And the same thing for pleasant. Maybe you're feeling really good and relaxed. And notice how that feels. And notice how the mind wants to hold it and maintain it. So let's start with the body. Lots to feel here. So start with the feet and legs. And just kind of notice the sensations. good chance there might be a few unpleasant ones. We've been sitting a while, and that happens. And see for yourself if there's a feeling tone of pleasant or unpleasant. Notice the like or dislike of that feeling because of the feeling tone. And see how you want to straighten your legs. I don't want this. It shouldn't be this way. Something's wrong. We come to the bottom on the cushion. Could be unpleasant, but probably just neutral. You're just aware of it. Notice that, kind of indifferent towards neutral feelings. But still it's there, so notice it. Feel your hands, wherever they are, on the knees and the lap. Lots of different sensations in the hands that can be felt. And as we do this, it's not like you're telling yourself, ah, tingling, pulsing, warmth. You're actually feeling it. Go beyond the words. Go to the experience, the immediacy of the sensations. Come to the torso and just notice the movement of the breath in the torso, expanding and relaxing. Notice the temperature of the room on your skin and your body. Feel the sensation themselves, but then notice if there is an attitude towards it. Feeling of, too cold. I don't like being cold. Maybe you're feeling warm. It's really warm in here. And that feels nice, and I want it to stay that way. All right, so just holding all this in awareness. We're not trying to fix it. We're not solving anything. Just seeing clearly the processes that are happening moment to moment. And then notice if there's any emotions present. Sometimes these talks stir things up. Sometimes you just have some leftover stuff from the day. And sometimes you just have stuff from an entire lifetime. Just sitting there. And again, maybe pleasant, maybe unpleasant, maybe you don't feel anything, kind of neutral. Any of those three are fine. But try to see that difference between the feeling itself, the emotion itself, and then our attachment or aversion. The like, the dislike, the good, the bad, should, shouldn't. They're two very different things. So try to stay with the emotion itself, if there is one. tightness in the chest, heaviness in the stomach. So from here, we'll shift from the body to the sounds. If you have no expectations as you sit here, then sounds come and go. No problem. But if you think meditation is supposed to be quiet, in a quiet room, away from people and loud things, sounds will come and go, but you will suffer. You'll have a problem. So notice that. As you hear sounds, there's the sounds themselves. They come, they go. Then there it is, the pushing and pulling. The labels, the judgments. Drop everything and just let your ears hear sounds. And it's totally fine if your mind is reacting or talking about what you hear. Just listen to that too, it's fine. But gently try to redirect to just hearing the sounds themselves. If you shift your focus, you can actually start to notice this inner sound. It might sound like a ringing or just like an inner kind of buzzing. One teacher calls it the sound of silence. A little hard to tune into when there's a lot of noise, but you can find it. Kind of like a constant hum that's there, that's not coming from something outside. A lot easier to hear in silence. But just see if you can hear it. If not, don't worry about it. From sounds to our thoughts, to our mind. And we just give our mind a lot of space. Mind can be busy, you can have plenty of thoughts, that's fine. But be the person in the audience, standing to the side, watching. And again, noticing that there's the thought, whatever that even is, right? It's kind of strange when you start to look. But there's also a feeling tone that comes with most of them. It's So just start to notice how they work together. Thought arises, and then there's a feeling. As tempting as it is, don't indulge in any of the thoughts that arise. You can see them, but don't add to them. And for the sake of our own peace, really notice how you're not in control of these things. It's like things just keep popping in. There's this primordial restlessness that we all experience. But the insight is, if I'm not in control of this, why do I keep identifying myself as it? And notice that each thought arises by itself, but also disappears by itself. You don't have to try to get rid of it. It goes away by itself. It's like a small little fires. They light and then they go out. And you can conclude that since I don't disappear when the thought disappears, then it's not who I am. So notice that too, that yes, there is this chatter, but that comes and goes. And what's holding that? What's aware of that? What is that? Where are you in all of this? So come back to the body, and more specifically now to the breath. And yes, the legs may be feeling more unpleasant. And there may be a strong desire to move. But I promise you, if you move, in about a minute or two, they're going to feel the same exact way. And we have to get out of this mindset of temporary immediate relief, because that causes a lot of problems. So just notice, yes, very uncomfortable. Yes, I want to move and fix it. But see what happens if you don't. See what happens if you just say, okay, uncomfortable, and let's start focusing on the breath. And that's what we're going to do. So start to notice yourself breathing. And you can focus on one of two spots, either the tips of the nostrils, pretty easy to feel the air coming in and out, good anchor for your mind, or the rising and falling of the belly. And this is how we strengthen the attention. We teach the attention to stay with one thing. Just like in exercise, it's going to be wobbly. At first, it's going to be hard. Not going to be able to hold the attention very long, and that's fine. Every time you come back from a distraction, that's like doing another rep. So So notice when you get distracted, maybe your mind goes to your knee that's hurting, maybe your mind goes to a sound you hear, maybe your mind follows a thought. But wake up and come back, this breath, this moment. And see how long you can hold your attention with the experience of breathing. And you can repeat these two lines that Sylvia Boorstein had said or has taught before. So when you're breathing in, you can silently say, "May I meet this moment fully." And then on the exhale, you can say, "May I meet it as a friend." And try saying those with each breath. "May I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend." Try that for a couple breaths. This way you know, if you're not saying one of those two sentences, you're probably distracted. And just pick them up again. "May I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend." While you're repeating, make sure your body is softening, that you're staying relaxed. Even if the legs are uncomfortable, you're not tensing up. "May I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend." Maybe like two or three more breaths with that little mantra that we just were saying. Don't miss a single one. One more breath with those two lines and you can let them go. And allow that kind of narrow concentration to expand out. It's like you just fell into space. And you're just holding this moment, holding yourself, body, mind, holding each other, holding everything in this moment with just this loving attention. Not resisting anything, not pushing away, not trying to hold on. But it's as if you're an empty house with open doors and windows, and nobody's home. Things come, things stay, things go. In a moment, I'm going to hit the bell one more time. Just simply receive the sound and hear it until it stops completely. Together, we could take one deep breath in the nose, out the mouth, and slowly maybe wiggling the fingers, the toes, perhaps rocking the body a little bit. And then when you're ready, you can start to straighten, stretch, massage your legs. And then gently opening the eyes. Anybody notice any feeling tones and aversions and attachments?
Yeah, couldn't make it through. My feet like fell asleep, and I went as long as I could. I can't.
Yeah, that's all right.
I fell asleep again, but I can handle it better in the second position.
Yeah. But you can see, so something arises, and instead of leaving it alone, we have to go after it. It's not these things that bother us, it's that our mind goes after it and makes it into something. So, to be mindful of it. To be mindful always. I mean, it's a 24/7 practice. People think, oh, I don't have the time to sit for 5 minutes. Well, meanwhile, it's like, kind of have to do it all day. You know, when you're laying in bed, when you're eating, when you go to the bathroom, when you're with friends, when you're alone. Let's just pay attention. Know what's happening in your life in that moment, but most importantly, what's going on in your mind in relationship to that. Because that's what we're trying to work with here, that the relationship to what's happening. And instead of being kind of caught in that, chasing after likes, running from dislikes, we can kind of just greet it as it is, pleasant or not. And why is this helpful? Because when life changes, which it inevitably will, as we age, if we get sick, when we have to eventually leave this body, all of that is going to be very uncomfortable. And if you wait till then to train, you're going to be... I'm not saying we're training to die, but on one level we kind of are. To be able to let go completely. Right, that's why, and these teachings are kind of saying, like, die before you die, if that makes sense. Right? Die to the small, limited sense of identification that you keep staying stuck in. Let go of that. Let go of the cocoon. All right? And then be free. Sounds easy enough, right? We'll all be enlightened by next week.